Hi, and welcome to a new series of tutorials for building applications for Surface Hub. And this first tutorial is going to explore an existing app, so it's going to be quite a short tutorial, but I'm going to show you how to take an existing UWP app and get it running on the Hub to get started. And then we'll have a look at the app and find all the things that are wrong with that app, or that we could make better to make it a great Surface Hub application. So you can see I've got an 84-inch hub behind me, and the first thing we're going to do is set this hub up so that it works for development. And that means we have to put it into development mode. And if you go into Windows Settings on the hub, you can see that here I am. I can go to Update and Security, and in Update and Security list, at the bottom of the list, there's an item called For Developers. And you need to select that and go into developer mode. Now, full warning that when you go into developer mode, this is kind of a one-way street. Once your Surface Hub is in development mode, you can't get out of it without resetting the entire hub. So you want to make sure this is what you want to do. Because it allows you to remotely deploy any kind of application from your development machine to the hub via an IP address. So this is a one-way street. Be cautious about doing it, but it's the only way to actually do remote debugging and remote deployment onto the hub. So you select developer mode, and then you're good to go. So if I go back to Visual Studio here, and I have a UWP application that I can run. Now, what you can see if I go to the settings for the properties for this UWP application, I have got an IP address here. Now, that IP address will pop up on the Surface Hub in developer mode, and it lets me deploy to the Surface Hub. So if I now push remote machine debug, it'll start deploying to that machine, and I should be able to get this UWP application running on the hub in a minute. Takes a little bit of time because obviously it's got to send all the bits over the wire, and here we go. And now we can see, here it is, I can go full screen, and here's the hub application, or the UWP application running on the hub. And you can see it's a fairly simplistic. It's essentially a Kanban board. It's a to-do board. You've got items to do here, work in progress, and items that are done. And it's a simple little UWP application. I've got a little hamburger menu up here to create a new job. And I could create a job. I could say, let's call it something imaginative, like new job. We can give it a description, some details maybe, and I can create it, and it will create the job here. And so I've got a new job. And then when I want to start that job, I move it to work in progress. I hit start, and it moves into work in progress and into this column. And when I want to edit it, I can edit it. I could change the title, for example, to that job, save it. And then when I've finished working on it, I can click stop, and it moves to the done list. So it's a very simple little application. But there's a bunch of things that are not quite great about it in terms of a Surface Hub application. And you would have seen some of those if you've been watching the first tutorial or the second tutorial when we looked at, or videos when we looked at how to build great Surface Hub applications. So one of the things you may have noticed is this little menu up here is A, quite hard to see, this little hamburger menu. And B, it's kind of single user. When I create a job, it creates this modal dialogue, and no one else can do anything on the screen while this is up. So I'm now blocking anyone from accessing anything else on the screen. And I've got this huge screen, which maybe there's multiple people who want to work on it at the same time. And I'm taking control of it because I wanted selfishly to do one specific thing. So let's create that another job. More detail, create. Now I'm back into maybe a mode where more than one person could engage with it. But then if I want to edit something, again, it goes into this modal mode. So there's some challenges there in terms of it being a multi-user application. The other thing is it doesn't support the stylus at all. There's no interaction. I mean, it uses it like a mouse, but there's no interaction between the stylus and the application. That's something we could fix, maybe. We could take advantage of the fact that maybe people could write on these. And if you think about like the interface as well, maybe it's not perfect in terms of how to, so if I want to get to something to do, I have to walk over here. If I want to get to the done list, I have to walk over here. So I'm kind of moving back and forward across the screen the whole time, which is creating maybe traffic flow. And if there's more than one person on the screen, this would be a challenge as well. So we need to think about how do we make this into a better Surface Hub application. And so over the course of the next few tutorials, we're going to change that. I just stopped debugging there. In fact, let's just have a quick look at what the other things that I think are important to think about. So we looked at this Contoso jobs. It's got jobs to do, work in progress, completed jobs. We created and edited a job, and we started a job and finished a job. So you saw us do that. Now the issues are modal dialogues. So the modal dialogues to create and edit jobs block everything else. That hamburger menu top left is hard to see, hard to reach. You would have noticed the icons, even I had to tap a couple of times to tap the icons. They're not great size as buttons. It's really an indirect manipulation. When I want to move something from work in progress to done, or from the to-do list to the work in progress list, I have to tap a button. Why can't I just drag it in? That would make more sense. And you would have seen that it's very keyboard centric. Like I have to enter things with a keyboard. And of course on Hub, the soft keyboard pops up, but there's only one soft keyboard. And so I can't have two people, three people entering things at the same time. So let's have a quick run around the code and have a look and see what that code looks like. Just so you've got an idea, so when we start using it and start working with it, it makes sense. So a job itself is really a simple little class. It contains a title, a description, and a status. The status is just, is it in backlog? Is it to do? Is it work in progress? Or is it done? Or is it moving? And we'll get to use that moving in a little bit. We're not using that right now. It's kind of preempting something we need to do. And then the job view model, which drives all of this, contains a collection of jobs, of job objects, and determines how to create jobs, load jobs, save jobs, and provides an interface or a mechanism to bind for the jobs that are done, the jobs that are work in progress, and the jobs that are in the backlog. So you can create a job, you can edit a job, you can start a job, and you can complete a job. And here, of course, we've got load and save. And we're really just loading and saving a local XML file at the moment. Now, that's another challenge with Surface Hub, because in Surface Hub, local files get removed every time you reset the device or every time you finish a session. So if you have set up all your Kanban board and you've got it all set how you want, and then you walk away, you finish the meeting, it won't get saved because it will save it locally onto a file that then gets wiped the time someone starts another meeting on the Surface Hub. So that's another problem we need to solve. Okay, so let's have a look at, on the Hub, a version of that UWP application that has been converted and worked on. And we're going to do this through the next few tutorials to create an application to convert that UWP application into a better Surface Hub application. And what we have here is you can see the design has been changed. It's now laid out in rows rather than columns. I've got rid of the hamburger menu. I can create a new job. I can drag that job around directly. I can tap and start typing in here. So the job. But I can also grab a stylus. I can pick a pen color. I can say my stuff to do. Now I've put this in the completed column, so I probably want to drag it down to the to-do column. We take advantage of the cameras, so you can see here now it's got a picture of me, and I can grab that, and that picture will now get captured into the job. So we're using the cameras, we're using the pen, and we've got direct manipulation where we can drag things around. You will also see on the other side, so I don't have to move if we've got two or three people working on the hub at the same time, we've got the ability to create jobs on the other side as well. So we can create jobs from either side, manipulate those jobs directly, use styluses to add content to them, you take advantage of the cameras. And in fact, in this version, the jobs are being saved up into the cloud using OneDrive as well. So we're getting rid of that challenge of using local storage, which we talked about. So this is what we're aiming for. We're aiming to get to this. Just going back to the slides, you can see here what we've got going on here. We just reviewed the existing application. In the next tutorial, we're going to do drag and drop, and we'll look at how to add direct manipulation to the objects on the screen. And then from there, we will go to the third tutorial, which will be inking, and we'll add support for the stylus inking on the screen, multiple styluses. In the fourth tutorial, we'll remove the modality challenges, the dialogues and the controls, so that we can act directly and multiple people can interact with the hub at the same time. In the fifth tutorial, we'll look at camera support. In the sixth tutorial, we'll look at how to store that data into the cloud. And in the seventh on this series, we're going to add support to read NFC messages. And in fact, in this scenario, we're going to use an NFC phone, and we'll place the phone up against the hub in order to send a message to the hub. So that's what we're going to do over the following tutorials. I hope you can drop over and watch the whole bunch of them, but if there's specific ones you want to watch, then pick and choose. We're going to build up that original application that I showed you through the series, so make sure that you keep track of each one. But at the beginning of each one, we'll start with where we left off at the previous one so that you can get an idea of where we're up to. So if all you care about is inking, then you can drop into the inking tutorial and see where we left off at the end of the drag and drop tutorial. So thank you very much, and I hope you watch the following set of tutorials.